This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Let's go out to another desert to kick off this hour. We're going to have Will Hill join us, King of Connecticut, later on. But right now, he is Zachary Cohen, our senior editor at VSiN.com. Does a great job as host of Hardwood Handicappers, and I think one of the best handles out there on X. Betting on X joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning to you, Zachary. Look, are you just glad that finally the saga is over? The long-standing national nightmare is over. Zach Cohen, we can all sleep easier knowing that LeBron James is in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was tough for me because with Hardwood Handicappers, we kept planning to do another episode when LeBron signed, and we just had no idea what it was going to be. And luckily, it ended up working out. We're like, we hit our one episode a week for the summer. And yeah, it was really surprising to me, to be honest. Like, I really kind of downplayed the possibility of him going to Philadelphia throughout this process because I thought it would matter to him to go somewhere, you know, that he had ties to. So I always thought the Cavaliers were kind of the leader in the clubhouse. And I do think it sounds like he wanted them to trade James Harden, and that ultimately led to him, you know, deciding to go elsewhere. But yeah, it was definitely stunning. And now it's going to be really odd to see him in that jersey.
It will. I can tell you it is so polar opposite in Northeast Ohio, Zach. Half the town thrilled that we don't have to worry about another reunion tour here because the makeup of the team and how they want to move forward. The other half still crying their eyes out that we did not get the king to return home for one final stanza. To that end, I know we had already kind of talked with you about the East and with the move of Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, going to Miami. Now the Jaylen Brown move and what that does for the Boston Celtics. Rank it for us in your eyes. Is it still the Knicks and then the Sixers now? Or should they be that close odds-wise as the teams to beat in the Eastern Conference?
So I definitely think the Sixers are, you know, a title contender. I just think that if you're looking to actually find value in betting this team, I don't think that there is any. I think you need to wait until closer to the playoffs, evaluate the status of Joel Embiid, see where everybody stands, and that's when maybe you want to jump in. I think that on paper, this team 1-7 can absolutely beat anybody in a best of seven series. I just feel like a lot can go wrong during the regular season, which is why at the current numbers, I wouldn't touch it. But I do think that the odds are very close to reflecting what the actual order is in the Eastern Conference, though I do have Knicks, Celtics, Sixers as opposed to Knicks, Sixers, Celtics. I think that this Boston team is still being slept on a little bit. I kind of bought the dip a little bit once they traded Jaylen Brown. I still think that that team is going to be really good and you can get some good numbers on them. But yeah, I think the Sixers absolutely in the conversation now. And I do think it's a pretty wide range of teams in the Eastern Conference that have the ability to actually win the conference. I think that there's seven teams that can win. That is including the Raptors, who would presumably be getting Kawhi Leonard. If they do not get him, that would make it six.
That's what's interesting to me. It's not so much the Knicks still being the betting favorite now to win, but the Sixers being adjusted so much because of this LeBron move here. But teams like the Cavaliers that drift now to 10-1, even Detroit feels like, okay, they're still about 8-1 here, but that's a slight drift from being the number one seed a year ago. Is it really going to be like the depth of the East? I don't know that the top-heavy nature of the West still feels like it's going to be in play there. Do we now have greater overall depth in the East now with kind of the reshaping of the rosters and Giannis moving to Miami and Kawhi going back to Toronto?
Yeah, I think you really do, because I think if you could go down even to like the Pacers and they have a really good chance of actually winning the Eastern Conference. Like, I was watching a video the other day of Tyrese Halliburton doing a through-the-legs dunk off like a self-alley-oop. So he clearly is feeling pretty good in his progression back from that Achilles tendon injury. And that team is just going to be absolutely loaded. If you look at what they have heading into next season, it's the same team that took the Thunder to game seven and might have beaten them in that game seven. And now they have Ivica Zubac in for Miles Turner. So Indiana is a team that I think can absolutely win the Eastern Conference. And I do think the Cavaliers are on that list of teams that can win. Obviously, it didn't end the way that people wanted it to. I think that the, you know, Kenny Atkinson definitely made some haters for himself towards the end of that series, but still a really good team. They did pivot and sign Mario Hezonja. I'm interested in seeing how that works out for them, but that is a player that is very talented. He's big, he can shoot, and he can score in transition. So maybe that helps them with their wing issue, even if it wasn't LeBron James coming in.
Yeah, see, analytically, we did sign LeBron here in Cleveland. Yeah. He won't be here in person. So we got that going for us. Several bridesmaids left at the altar here in the LeBron marriage sweepstakes. One of those, the Golden State Warriors. Now, how does the complexion for that group change? And again, you still have kind of the AARP roster there. But now where do they pivot in your eyes? Is it looking for other resources, or do they just kind of stand pat and kind of move from there?
I mean, I would like to see them go for it just because I think they owe that to Stephen Curry, but it does sound like that front office and the owner would like to maintain and hold on to the assets that they have. So I don't think they're going to do anything. I think that if they are going to do something, it would be potentially a move for Trey Murphy from the Pelicans. That's a team that, you know, that they've talked to, and it sounds like they're very interested in acquiring him, but I do think that they're going to ultimately just bring back Draymond and run back this roster. I think that they're going to hope that Jimmy Butler can give them playoff minutes by the time, you know, he's healed up. And I don't know. It's just, it's kind of a sad way for them to go out. At the same time, though, I'm not sure that LeBron was going to make them a title contender either. It would have made it fun and would have made it interesting, but I do think that this team is just going to be kind of in that play-in area again, and it just depends what Butler can give you come postseason time.
You know, also, we saw the fallout, what happened. Miami's going to announce it. No, they're not going to announce it. He's coming back here, and then that doesn't happen. And then you kind of look at what's left now of this Heat roster for another team that did not get LeBron in those sweepstakes, if you will. And it does feel like Bam and Giannis and a bunch of others, 10-1, that feels a little short now that the dust is settling in the East. What do you make of where they are now with the Giannis addition?
Yeah, so I still think that they're a piece away. And I think that the way that they structured Andrew Wiggins' contract kind of said that they're competing for the next 3 years, and it's not as much of a win this year scenario as I think we all would have thought it would have been when they acquired Giannis. So I think this team is going to be very good in the Eastern Conference this season. I just think that maybe next year is when they kind of add that third or fourth piece that can help them actually jump into title contention. I do think that team is really good, though, and there are still some moves out there that they could potentially make. Now that LeBron is off the board, we'll probably find out very soon about, like, DeMar DeRozan, about Bradley Beal. Like, these are not stars anymore, but they're players that could help, especially a team for, like, Miami. But I do think that the Heat did pretty well in bringing Tim Hardaway Jr. in on a vet minimum. I think that's somebody that can obviously space the floor. And I think Davion Mitchell is going to have a really good season with even less attention on him. So there's still some stuff there. And like, Wiggins is going to be really good as their third piece for this season. I just think that this window for them is a little bit bigger and longer than people might think.
All right, Z, and this is always a great time after the NBA Summer League. You get a little look at the next wave of young kids and, you know, some veterans trying to find their way back for one last hurrah. Biggest takeaway for you from what you saw, and is there anything to take out of the Summer League to jump into the futures market or some bettable angles before we eventually get into preseason and training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Cameron Boozer was just like a man amongst like boys in that tournament. And I know it kind of ended poorly for them, like in that final game. The Warriors did storm back and beat them, and Jaxel Lendeborg looked like the best player on the floor. But I think that Boozer is just so advanced that you kind of look at that Memphis roster and where they're sitting right now from like a win total perspective, it's pretty easy to see that team potentially winning like 30-5 games or so. Like, I think that it's a really loaded Western Conference, but you kind of look at what they did last season and they were really kind of outwardly tanking, but that's not really going to be a thing this season because of the new rules with the relegation zone and the draft. And also because this draft is really just not that good in general, there's going to be teams that are trying to win games towards the end of this year that weren't trying to win them last year. And if you kind of look at some advanced analytics from last season, Ty Jerome and Zach Edey were two of the better players in the league, like analytically. So, you know, to borrow from Kenny Atkinson, but it's a really kind of interesting roster there because I do think you have Jerome, Coward, Boozer, Edey. Like, this team could beat you in a number of different ways, and I do think they're going to be way more competitive than people think.
All right, so Zach, you mentioned some of the secondary moves like the Bradley Beals of the world that could still get dealt here. And move on to new places, and maybe they add depth. But we believe that the dust is kind of settled, right? That now, at least, we can start to formulate what these rosters might really look like. To win by conference, the Western Conference is almost a $2 betting favorite over the East, minus $1.85. The Eastern Conference, the entirety of it, plus $1.45. I bring that up in context of, to win the NBA Finals, it's OKC and San Antonio, tied as the short shots at plus 270, and then you get to the Sixers and the Knicks, ironically, at 9-1. That's quite the chasm between the two. Would you then lay it on the West at $1.85 and say, all right, I'm getting the two shortest shots on the board, and they're almost $7 shorter than anybody in the East?
I wouldn't. I mean, last year I handicapped it as like two different leagues, and I said that the team that wins the Eastern Conference is going to get smoked by the team that wins the West. And it ultimately ended up being the Spurs and not the Thunder. I thought that the Thunder, if healthy, still would have won the NBA title last year. But I do think that there's enough reasons now to believe in the Eastern Conference to at least hold their own in a playoff series against the finals winner from the Western Conference, representative. We've seen it now multiple seasons in a row that the East can hang with the West. It was the Pacers, and the Thunder 2 years ago, and then the Knicks beat the Spurs last year. So I don't see any real reason now to believe there's a major dip between the two. I do think that the best two teams in the league are the Thunder and the Spurs, but I don't have as big of a gap as I did last year.
Fascinating. Look, you got to give the NBA props, right? They've been fascinating all offseason. Maybe that was part of the plan until Adam Silver started to get mad at LeBron. Like, make up your mind already. Zach, great stuff, man. Check out Hardwood Handicappers. Fantastic listen. And give him a follow on X. Betting on X. On X, of course. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what we're going to see in the NFL. We're going to break down the Kansas City Chiefs. Are they still the team to beat, even though a lot of people beat them a year ago? That's next. VSiN by the Books.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Into VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
The NFL preseason is just a couple weeks away, and this is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. So get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, divisional races, and all those player props. Then August 3rd, you're going to get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 teams, preseason power ratings, best bets from all of our experts. Plus, you're going to get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, which features over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app before the price goes up, and it will on August 1st. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Great conversation with Zach Cohen in the last segment. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Take a listen on your time. Can't wait for our conversations on Monday, as we always do, with the King of Connecticut. Will Hill will join the program a little bit later on in this hour. But it is amazing to think we're reading promos about August 1st. It's next week. Jensen, 2026 is flying. And that means football season is almost here. We can feel it. It's coming very, very soon. Let's get to a big-time breakdown of a team that had a breakdown a year ago. It's the Kansas City Chiefs, as we highlight in today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
Cut. This is the Daily Gridiron.
Ten and a half. That's the win total for a team that won six games a year ago. I know. Patrick Mahomes got hurt, went down. Jensen, I think we have to be honest about this team. The ship might have been sinking even before Patrick Mahomes went down last year, but that's going to be the easy out if you look in the surface and say that is, of course, why they only won six games. You got to lay almost 2-1, $1.84 to make the postseason. To win the West, which they did not do a year ago, of course, that'd be the Denver Broncos, plus $1.75 to win the AFC, get back to the Super Bowl, plus $7.50, and then to win it again, 16-1. Before we break down these numbers, where are you? Because it feels like all the focus is on 15, and I don't know if we're focusing enough on the rest of the 52.
I think first we've got to start with the offense overall, that it's no longer Matt Nagy as the OC, is Eric Bieniemy. And if you remember the first tour of duty with Eric Bieniemy, this is one of the most well-oiled machines as far as the offense is concerned. Will that be the elixir? We shall see. The roster construction, they got started early, bringing in Kenneth Walker III, 3 years, $43.05 million, 28.7 of that guaranteed. Isaiah Pacheco is an unrestricted free agent. He now heads over to Detroit in their backfield. Trent McDuffie talked about the trade to the Rams as one of their biggest moves, one of the big splashes. And also, you know, having Jalen Watson, too, head out to the Rams. The back end of the secondary left a lot to be desired. And then, you know, what? Legarius Sneed comes in on a low-cost one-year deal to try and plug a hole back there. The questions about, would this be the last dance for Travis Kelce? I would imagine that not only will it be, but, you know, what can you expect? Kind of to your first question of, what do we make of this roster? I mean, this is an aged Travis Kelce. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Sure. But this is also Patrick Mahomes coming off a significant injury. This isn't the same Lamborghini we're used to seeing from years past. I guess I would start there. Kenneth Walker III, off of being the Super Bowl MVP and coming into a backfield that we know Eric Bieniemy loves to use his running backs in various ways. I'll start there. Do we think the run game kind of takes the pressure off of Patrick Mahomes having to single-handedly lean this team back to prominence?
Well, I would say this. You mentioned Bieniemy. He can be fiery, and he and Patrick Mahomes clashed a lot of times, and you kind of remember that whole thing of Andy Reid, how they kind of left it. It was very awkward when he left after winning. It didn't feel like he had a whole lot of options. He did go to college for a while. But the fact that they brought him back says something to me. It says that maybe they didn't always like his tone and tenor, but they needed a guy like Eric Bieniemy. They needed a structured guy with that offense, right? And I feel like they felt like, at least, that it lacked a little bit of that structure. So that's good from that perspective. But I look at this team, and I've got a lot of question marks about this football team, and there is no way you can get me to play that over 10.5 right now. And, yeah, you can get some small plus money on a plus $1.15. That is not where I'd be looking here, because you got, again, you got to prove it to me. You know my handicapping. It starts in the NFL with head coaches and quarterbacks. And I don't know that there's a head coach and a quarterback that I don't trust more than Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Proof's in the pudding. They've showed it to you year after year. But Father Time is undefeated. And now we're going to bank that Patrick Mahomes, as he mentioned, we played it earlier in the program, he's checked all the boxes here to get to where he needs to be. I'm concerned that the rest of the roster is just not up to speed. And the frustrations we saw in years past when they were up to speed could really come to an head this year. Because Mahomes will get frustrated. If he feels like Kelce, you know, we playing out the string here. Is Travis Kelce really a weapon that people are scared of in 2026? I don't think so, man. So, like, is Travis Kelce going to beat one-on-ones and beat linebackers? And dare I say a safety? Because he's going to get a lot of those looks. Because I don't think you're doubling 87 like you used to. So if I'm not doubling 87 anymore, Jensen, I'm going to be on the outside. And who am I taking away? Rashee Rice? Like, when has this guy proven that he can be a proven guy? That we go, this is our number one, and you got to fear him. Like, I worried about him being on the field. A lot of things that have nothing to do with football. To me, there's a lot of questions about this offense. And it better be Kenneth Walker. And you bring him in from Seattle. And it better be run heavy. And it better be boring. Because if it's not boring, and if Chris Jones is not getting any younger either to kind of spearhead this defense, and you trade away a lot of your secondary, and we're just going to bring in guys on short-term deals and act like that's the elixir? Jensen, I mean, again, I trust Andy Reid. I know he knows what he's doing, or at least they think they know exactly what this team is going to look like. But before I could back this team, this would be more of a fade team for me. And I know I'm at odds with a lot of people in the network that really like this football team this year. Not me. This is a stay away. And if they prove it to me, I'll tip my cap at the end of the year that they are all the way back. I think there's a lot more question marks than a lot more certainties about a team with a 10.5 win total and the most wins in this division. Not for my money.
Yeah, 11 of our 23 hosts and experts taking the Chiefs to win the division. Our VSiN NFL betting guide, 8 on the Chargers. I know I was one of 4 that backs the Denver Broncos to repeat as AFC West champions. And make no mistake about it, we'll revisit their schedule here in our VSiN NFL betting guide. You know, the Denver game on Monday Night Football to start the year at home, huge advantage for Kansas City, albeit you still have 2 quarterbacks in Bo Nix for the Broncos and Patrick Mahomes here for the Chiefs that, hey, we're going to have those first game jitters. You're going to have some of those inconsistencies in week number 1. Kansas City at home against Indianapolis on Sunday Night Football. Very interesting. You are going to have to hold the Chiefs if you're in Circus Survivor for the Thanksgiving week. They will be in Buffalo to take on the Bills. And so let me pivot to that route for you. Where would this team be in a Survivor mentality for you? Because I do wonder if you don't have the offensive weaponry up to par and seeing some of the defenses there. Think about this 3-game stretch, Dave. After the bye week, you play the Chargers defense, although it's at home. Then you got to go to Seattle for Sunday Night Football on the 12th man. Then you have to go to Mile High to take on the Broncos. That 3-game stretch could define their entire season. And that doesn't even start the back third where it's Bills on Thanksgiving, Rams Thursday Night Football, at Cincinnati, home against the Patriots on Monday night, home against the Niners, at the that finishing stanza, forget it. No thanks, want nothing to do with it.
And you want to play the over, a 10.5 wins? Good luck, people. I just don't see it right there. Look, from a Survivor perspective, I would be looking right now at weeks 9 and 11 against the Jets and the Cardinals at home back at Arrowhead. That's probably where I would be looking if you can wait there. Again, if you want to wait for Thanksgiving, great. But do you really want to use them on the road against the Bills in their new stadium? Again, I know that they always seem to be the magic elixir. They always figure out a way. It seems like to get the Bills when it matters, but I don't know that I trust it on Thanksgiving this year. I'd look to the Jets and the Cardinals if you can wait there, but I do. I have a lot of question marks. You and I do not pick them to win the division. I've got the Chargers. You've got the Broncos in that NFL betting guide that's out right now for VSiN Pro subscribers. And again, I like the football team. I just don't love it. And I need to be in love if I'm going to play an over of 10.5 in an ultra competitive division. And again, I think the Broncos are going to be just like you believe. They're going to be really good again. And the Chargers, I love their football team right now with the additions at tackle, both left and right from injury a year ago. We're talking about injured players with Patrick Mahomes. Look at the Chargers. They got a lot healthier in this offseason as well. So to me, that's just not a price point at 10.5 and a divisional price at +$1.60 that I'm willing to pay. So I'm looking down the board. You know I'm looking at the Chargers first and foremost. But I get it. If you trust Andy Reid, who doesn't, and Patrick Mahomes, who doesn't, I understand why some people in the betting market will put their dollar there. Let's get to our best bets where we're going to put our money today. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Monday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. If you're listening to the program or watching on FanDuel TV, FanDuel Sports Network or YouTube TV, you might have caught the Should Have Bet More podcast that was on us, precedes us here on Monday mornings right here on the network. The one and only Will Hill joins the program now, the host of the Should Have Bet More pod, and give him a follow on X at Not The Will Hill, and joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Good Monday morning to you, sir. Before we get to the baseball, what did you make of LeBron? Were you captivated all summer long there in Connecticut, just waiting to see what the king would do?
I was not. I got to the point, and I thought he's probably going back to Cleveland. So, you know, like a lot of people, all right, get it over with. And I think we complained too much. Like, hey, come on, I need a decision right now. Where, you know what, if it was one of us making a decision on our job, we probably want a little more time to think things over. But I thought he'd sign and we just kind of move on. Wouldn't really be into it. I'm into it. Him on Philly is so weird and so just kind of fun. It's just so unique. Picturing him in that uniform It's one of the all-time weird uniforms. I mean, like, it's like Ewing with the Sonics or Olajuwon with the Raptors. Manny Ramirez went to the Rays or the Whites. It's weird to picture him in that uniform, but I think it'll be fun. I'm not rushing to the window, cutting in line to bet them 9-1 to win it all, plus 380 to win the East. I think the betting angle here when they do suit up, and I do think it'll work more than it won't. And you can talk about, you know, down the road, would you trade Embiid and some picks for Davis? I think that probably makes some sense. It's hard to trust Embiid to stay healthy. It's basically like a five-leg parlay. Stay healthy through the regular season, then four rounds of playoffs so you can win a championship. That's asking a lot. We all know a five-leg parlay is hard to hit. But the overs, I think, will be good on Philly because I'm not sure how good they're going to be defensively. You know, Embiid can't move anymore. LeBron's older. Maxey and Edgecombe are smaller. But they like to run. LeBron likes to run. Brown, you know, all the guys I mentioned, Maxey, Edgecombe, Embiid's probably going to get left in the dust a lot of times. But you got four guys that really like to push the pace. And if you got a team that likes to push the pace on one end and doesn't really defend well on the other end, I know you can't bet it now and the season doesn't start till October, but I could see a scenario, you know, middle of December, we're talking about the Sixers and it's like, hey, they're, you know, they're 13-5 to the over or something like that. So I think they're going to be an over team. I think it'll generally work because it's just a lot of talent. It might be a little light on shooting because none of those guys are like knockdown shooters, but from a fun perspective, and let's be honest, guys, the NBA regular season has not been fun for a long time. It's a lot of tanking. It's a lot of, you know what, just get me to the playoffs. I think the anti-tanking rules, the fact that the draft helps some of these bad teams, Caleb Wilson looks like the real deal for the Bulls. Wizards have a little juice with DeBonza. You got the now LeBron and Sixers versus the Celtics rivalry, where that will be a rivalry. You know, Brown and Tatum clearly don't like each other. And maybe we get a Sixers-Celtics series or a Sixers-Knicks or the Sixers and LeBron against one of his old teams like the Heat or the Cavs. I think we're in for a pretty fun season. Overs on the Sixers, I think, will be the way to go. But I'm looking forward to it. As weird a fit as that is, LeBron is a Philadelphia 76er. Still just kind of hard to get used to saying.
If you thought that jersey was weird, how about when yours truly was up against a Manny Ramirez in a Sacramento AAA jersey? I'll tell you, that one was a fun little mano-e-mano there. Mano-e-mano, the key word, because a lot of big-time series for Major League Baseball over the weekend, and one in particular in the Wild American League West, a critical defeat for the Texas Rangers yesterday, a big go-ahead three-run home run from Dominic Canzone, I think may have resurrected the Seattle Mariners, because not only would that defeat have sent the Mariners to three straight losses in the first three games of that series, but now you would have lost the season series tiebreaker to Texas. You're already a handful of games under 500. And I think you even mentioned it before the show, and I'll give you the floor on it, Will. It could have changed the Mariners from a buyer to a seller. Implications for today, because now the Mariners have a chance to split the series. They got George Kirby going against Kumar Rocker, but maybe bigger picture of where you look at both Seattle and Texas here with about a week before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I do like Seattle today. I'll just take the better pitcher in George Kirby over Kumar Rocker, who's been up and down. You know, he had the pedigree. We thought maybe coming out of college he would be a really good pitcher, but he had the injury, bounced around. You know, the Mets didn't sign him, all of that drama, but I'll take the better pitcher with the Mariners, and you mentioned it, man. You know, the old saying, 162, they're all equal, which, you know, mathematically is true. That was a brutal one yesterday for Texas, because Texas had a chance to bury this team. That would have been, what, a four-game lead? And then if you beat them today, a five-game lead. And if you're the Mariners, I was watching this, and I think I tweeted this watching the game. You wonder if the Mariners are playing themselves into sellers. If you're five games out and you're like five games under, I don't know if you're selling, but you're at least thinking about it, and you're probably not buying. But now, hey, you look up, you win that game, you steal it late, down 3-1 in the seventh, a three-run homer, get a little momentum, which I know can be dangerous to read into in baseball and really all these sports. But now you're only two out, and again, you send one of your better pitchers to the mound today in Kirby. You got the pitching advantage there. So I would worry if I'm Texas that leaks over and carries over to today. I do think Seattle wins, and if Seattle comes back and wins this division, and it's only two games, that's a day yesterday you circle that date, because Texas had a chance to really kind of land a knockout blow. With a win yesterday and a win today, they could have really put some distance between themselves and the Mariners and the Astros, for that matter. That was a really possibly critical loss here for Texas.
You know, one team I think we can all put a fork in would be Toronto taking on the Nationals today in D.C. And the Nats are interesting because they're two games over 500. They're still about 8-1 in the betting market, Will, to make the postseason, and yet they're just a game out of the final wild card spot. We know that the Phillies are going to at least get one of those if they don't run down the Braves. So one of those spots feels like it's gone. But for a team that's right there with a bunch of other teams as well, where are you in the Nats? Are you starting to buy in?
I just can't do. I hate bad bullpens. I'm sure Jensen is a former player too. Like, I just when he said 8-1, and honestly, I hadn't looked at that market in a while for them. 8-1, man, you twist my arm. You might be able to get me to bet that. I might actually get that one on the account, or at least think about it. And I thought that was a pretty savvy, shrewd trade for Connelly Early, a talented left-handed pitcher. They got Curtis Mead in late March. He was designated for assignment, and you turned him into a young pitcher with some control, with some years, with some ability. And that's a move that makes some sense. I'm not sure how much it's going to help them this year, but I don't know if they have enough pitching, enough bullpen to get in the playoffs, but 8-1 is certainly tempting when you're that far back. I like him today, though. I mean, look at Scherzer's numbers here, and he's going pitching a building. He's very familiar pitching in a team he's familiar pitching against, but 22 innings. He's allowed 25 runs. He's allowed 9. I mean, he's given up three homers an inning. He's given up basically a run an inning. And now you come back, and I never like these guys coming back off injury either. You're facing the team that leads the league in homers. They lead the league in stolen bases. I'm sure you guys have seen this stat floating around. This would be the first team to do that since the 1955 Brooklyn Dodgers to lead the league in homers and steals. I think this is a rough start for Scherzer. So I like the Nationals. Now, you run into this. How do you play it? Do you just take them on the money line? Do you just take them on the first five money line? Do you take the first five team total over 2.5 for the Nats? To me, it's kind of a put a little on each. I probably have all those bets, Nationals first five team total over 2.5. I think is the best. Maybe you get a little greedy and you parlay Abrams and Wood and some of these guys to homer. Either way, I think the Nats light up the scoreboard here. So I like them to win. I'll call first five over 2.5 for the team total, a play here. I think it's a rough night for Scherzer.
Very interested to see as far as what Toronto's rotation mates will be, either in uniform, thinking of Kevin Gausman, Shane Bieber. Will they be a part of this organization by the end of the week? I wanted to get your thoughts, a bigger picture, because you hit on a point that I told Dave in relation to Washington. That 8-1 price I would not want to take any part of unless Paul Toboni does make significant additions to the back end of the bullpen. When eventually we get, and we'll talk to you before this does happen on August 3rd, where do you come down on betting make miss the playoff futures? Because those numbers will change depending on the trade deadline. Is that a market you will get into after the deadline has come and gone because of those moves? Will that be part of your handicap?
I'll probably look at it every day, and I'll start to look at it more. And it's honestly a market. I look at the awards every day, the divisions. I'll start to look at that a little bit more here in the next week or so, and it'll be fun to track. It's such a unique year, too, because you have so many teams that are going to come down to the wire here and depend on the next week. Like I'm sure you guys mentioned, Scooble, Detroit might be playing themselves into a seller where, you know what, on Friday, you probably think they're buying. On Sunday, you think they might lean towards selling. If I'm the Tigers GM, I'm telling my team, hey, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm not sure what I'm doing. Give me a reason to believe. Give me a reason to buy, because if you're going to go out there and lose games to Kansas City at home, why am I going to buy? Why am I going to hold on to Scherzer here? So, these teams are fascinating to watch. There's so many teams. You always talk about like the NCAA tournament, these teams on the bubble. There's so many teams on the bubble right now, buyers, sellers. Do you just stay put? So definitely fun markets to keep an eye on here in the final week or so. Love the trade deadline. Trade deadline, underrated time of year.
Don't let the Royals get hot, winners of two in a row. Will, very quickly to that end, you know, this time last year, actually it was a little bit later, but you know, people looked at Toronto as a surprise getting as far as they got, you know, an out away from winning the World Series. They were three games above the Yankees in the divisional race. They were leading the division at the All-Star break. So I'm not sure how big of a surprise they really were. Is there a surprise team that we don't see right now that really will make an August-September charge?
I believed in Baltimore before the year. I kind of got off that. They were hurt. They were bad. They've played a little bit better recently. I guess I'll say Baltimore. But hey, this is one of those years, especially in the American League, you get in, anyone has a shot. Now, Detroit's kind of playing themselves, like I said, out of it. I guess you could use Detroit as that team if they hold on to Scooble, which I'm skeptical of now, but I'll go with Baltimore. I think Boston's too hot. You can't count them as a sleeper anymore. I'll stick to my guns here a little bit with Baltimore. Maybe they get hot here.
All right. Pete Alonso will lead them. The great Will Hill. Give him a follow on X at not the Will Hill. And again, check out the podcast. It is spectacular here in the network. The Should Have Bet More pod. We'll appreciate your contributions to the show, as always. When we come back, our best bets, they're up next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The Circus Survivor documentary is back. It's bigger than ever. $18.7 million on the line in a new Grandissimo format, raising the stakes this year. Missed episode one? Catch it now on YouTube. Just search VEASAN Live. Episode two is going to air Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Every agonizing moment of opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, and storylines shaping the upcoming season. Whether you play Circus Survivor or just love the drama, you do not want to miss this. It really is good television. Every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern on VEASAN, or catch up on your time anytime on YouTube. All you have to do is search VEASAN Live. Jensen, I don't know when we're going to make our cameo in this year's edition. Maybe it's going to be when we're sweating it out for all of the millions, as you and I will be in Circa Millions for year two. Again, our takeaways from year one are that we are the kings, certainly of foreign territories, right? We are the kings of European football, if you will. We just have to do a little bit better stateside, and maybe we get some of those tickets home this year.
Yeah, absolutely. There are no kings in this country, for those that don't know that, but we are the kings of the international handicap and look to defend the crown in that regard for sure this upcoming year. By the way, great viewer emails that we received last week, Dave, and a lot of fun answering some questions that people had. Again, buythebooks@vsin.com is the email address to get out to us. Mike Brown had a good email, said, hey, I'm a big fan of the show. I live in New Brunswick, Canada, on the border with Maine. We get a lot of our Canadian brothers and sisters tuning us in. Being Canadian, I'm a big Leafs, Blue Jays, and Raptors fan, but I'm also a big Buffalo Bills fan. I'm wondering what you guys think the Bills need to do to make their first Super Bowl in over 30 years. Thanks, and keep up the good work. It is one of those, you know, teams, Dave, that we obviously will talk about coming up not only this week, but next week. Looking at what the capabilities are for that group. You always say this, and it bears repeating, first-year head coaches, even if they've been in the organization, that'll be an interesting dynamic there with Josh Allen. Thoughts for you on what Mike's question is there with the Bills here in the AFC East?
Appreciate Mike's inquiry. Responded to him. I do have concerns about the defense. That would be my concern about the Buffalo Bills. I love this football team personally. It's a team I always root for. I do like them to win the division this year, but I don't think it's going to be an easy road to hoe here. Year number one, new stadium's going to be all that pomp and circumstance there. I do have concerns that I know they wanted to make Sean McDermott the fall guy, and I think that was easy to do. And the manner in which they went out in some of those playoff games through the years were excruciating. They weren't like the only one that really comes to mind where I just felt like they got beat was the Bengals, ironically, when they went there a couple years ago there to Highmark Stadium and just kind of beat them relatively easily. Past that, it always feels like a bizarre fashion in which they go away, whether it's a wind tunnel, or, you know, Steph Diggs drop ball back in the day, a missed kick here and there, as we've seen. And then last year, one of the most bizarre catch, non-catch, and then you've got, you know, the defense just can't get a stop, and it's Bo Nix and a busted ankle. It's kind of crazy the way things have happened to them. Sean McDermott, I think, did a better job of disguising what I think is an average defense. And now when you turn it over to another offensive guy in Joe Brady, are we forgetting about the other side of the football? And that's the one thing I think McDermott did as good a job as he could patching it together. And they had injuries, certainly to the linebacking core with Milano through the years as well. So some of their key guys haven't been there. But, Mike, my issue with your team this year is not offensively. I think you'll be great with Brady and with Allen, never a doubt there. My question will be defensively, can you get enough stops when you need them? And look, they're in a down division. Let's make no bones about that. I think that the Jets and Dolphins certainly are a long way away from really competing for this title. So because of that, you kind of get that two-headed monster there with the Bills and the Patriots. So you got to beat one team, theoretically, you would think, to win the division. So that's advantageous. But to the true big boys in the AFC, are you still one of them? I've got my concerns there when we're talking about some of the teams out west, not even the Chiefs necessarily. And certainly I think the North, we always look at that division, think you might have three playoff teams potentially out of that division. So the conference as a whole, Jensen, feels a little bit down to me. And even though the Bills might be slightly a little bit down as well, maybe it's not some of the elite teams that we're talking about in the NFC that they don't have to put up with.
Yeah, going to be fascinating. Again, appreciate everyone that has sent us some correspondence. We love getting all the questions and your thoughts. Buy the books at VSiN.com, the email address to jump in on. Dave, for best bets today on the diamond, do have a handful in pocket. I want to preface this by saying we got some real issues weather-wise headed in the Midwest and also to the East Coast. So this could play some havoc here in delays or even some postponements. So again, if you're on the daily fantasy side, please be checking some of these weather forecasts. One that I have my eye on, Dave, you know, some say the Super Bowl is the greatest trophy in sports. Others would say the Stanley Cup. The battle for the Ohio Cup has now gained traction and worldwide attention. I hope everyone has the sarcasm that I'm infusing into that. Guardians and Reds. Reds going nowhere this year. Guardians just getting swept over the weekend. Here is their reward. Chase Burns, start number two after the extension. He has looked really, really solid. And again, this is going to be a weather spot. So I'm wondering that it looks like the forecast could be a pretty strong thunderstorm right at first pitch. So I'm wondering if they already just delay it. This would be the issue I'd have is if they start it and then it's delayed and then you lose Chase Burns. That I'm going to hope that they do the right thing. Having known, you know, that they will probably delay it, you know, and this is the situation in years past, I did get to a multi-unit play on the under. I'm going to take 2.5 units on the under 8.5. Chase Burns, 7 consecutive home starts, Dave, allowing 3 runs or fewer. That goes all the way back to April 16th. And the Guardians, as I've alluded to you, the offense has been putrid at best. They are averaging just around 3.6 runs per game since July 4th. So we're going to play 2.5 units on the under 8.5. And I'm going to take a 1-unit shot on the Reds winning this by 2 or more runs at plus $1.24. So battle for the Ohio Cup game 1, we hope, gets underway at Great American Ballpark tonight.
Yeah, you always get concerned about that. They were a big play for me last week in Seattle with Burns on the bump. And that really was advantageous there with the Reds and the under as well. Brewers against the Gigantes here, and maybe you're going to go and look a little run line here instead of playing a money line?
I think we're going to do a couple of ways here, and I love the run line, especially with Brandon Sproat getting the start tonight. 1.5 unit play on laying the 1.5 runs for the Brewers at plus $1.30. Brandon Sproat, 5 consecutive starts, Dave, allowing 2 earned runs or fewer. He will go up against Tyler Mahle of the Giants. It has been one of the lowest run support starting pitchers that have been around here in the bigs this year. Mahle only getting about 3.2 runs of support in his starts this year, and he has not been great at run prevention. Last 4 times out, a 4.79 ERA. Let's take the way better offense currently, and let's also take advantage of a starting pitching mismatch on paper. So we'll play 1.5 units on the Brewers, minus 1.5 at plus $1.30. I'll also take a unit on the Brewers. It's a short money line price at minus $1.27 on Novig. So again, a couple of units in play on the Brewers to get it done comfortably at Oracle Park later on tonight.
And maybe some run suppression here for the D-backs and the Pirates. All of a sudden, the D-backs scuffling a little bit. Pirates got a big win yesterday against the Cubs. What do you see in that matchup?
Yeah, a little teeter-totter here. So, you know, Pittsburgh goes and puts up the big offensive performance yesterday, but they've been shut out in 2 of their last 4 games. A little more inconsistent. We're going to parlay that, Dave, with Merrill Kelly, who has looked way better. In 4 straight starts, he's allowed 2 earned runs or fewer, a 2.45 ERA in that span. Just a single unit on the under 9 here. I am well aware Pittsburgh is the best team in baseball, 25-6 to the over when they are a home favorite, which they are tonight. I'm just going to go more on the recency bias here. I like where Merrill Kelly's throwing the ball. I think he can neutralize some of the right-handed bats there. And also, with that Pittsburgh offense, a little inconsistent the last 4 games, let's try and strike here, but just a unit play on the under 9 at minus $1.10.
And very quickly here, just wrapping it up, I'll ask you the same question I asked Will Hill. Do you see any teams that are in peril? I wonder if, like, we've now, as we get closer to the trade deadline, can we formulate our opinions that we're not going to see a ton of change? Or do you think there could be a volatile team coming from, you know, around the bend that we don't see coming?
Yeah, I'm wondering, now that Minnesota has said they're not selling, the other part is the AL Central team that everyone thought would win it. What do the Tigers do this week? Tarek Skubal is scheduled to pitch the homestand finale on Wednesday against Baltimore. Will he make that start? I think a lot predicated on what happens the first couple of days in this series, but that will certainly be the team, Dave, that could have gone from buyers that might eventually sell maybe the most prized possession at this trade deadline.
Absolutely fascinating. Just what a difference a week makes here for certain teams. Minnesota all of a sudden looks like they might go all in when a week ago we thought they might be all the way out. Jensen, great stuff. As always, my man, we'll do it again tomorrow. But again, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, you're watching on YouTube TV, and you want more VSiN, and we know you do, VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, a numbers game. Matt Brown is in today with Kelly Bidlin. They're up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.